It's Wednesday, April 22nd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, I want to make a shout out to the people of Virginia. I got two emails today from people in Northern Virginia very interested in joining or starting a normal chapter in that state. That goes along with the five other emails I've received in the past couple of weeks, so I got seven people already waiting to start a normal chapter. If you're in the Virginia area, particularly Northern Virginia, please send me an email at chapters@normal.org so I can put you in touch with these other Virginians who are looking to stand up and fight for an end to adult marijuana prohibition. This is the time to get involved. We've got a sea change in public attitudes here regarding marijuana legalization. The Denver Post just came out with an op-ed saying to legalize marijuana. The Philadelphia Daily News just had a piece on the increasing costs of prisons, which of course are directly related to the drug war and on marijuana. And the Hill's Congress blog has noted the willingness now on Capitol Hill, a new willingness to talk about marijuana legalization. We've got excerpts from all of those posts up at our blog at stash.normal.org. Check them out when you get the time. Also want to note the debut of a new segment here on the Daily Audio Stash to take place every Wednesday. It's the California Marijuana Report featuring reporter Eric Brenner. Every Wednesday, he's going to be bringing us stories specific to the Golden State, plus a dose of independent music straight from California to complement the other music we've got going on in the stash. So every Wednesday, you'll get an extra heaping helping of Toker tunes. And speaking of our daily Toker tunes brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, today you get a twofer for Tuesday's tune that I was unable to play from last night because for some reason it wouldn't download, and today's Reggae Wednesday tune as well. So three songs if you count those two, plus the song you'll get in your California Marijuana Report. Now coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got your hemp headlines, including some excellent news from the Supreme Court that helps to protect your Fourth Amendment rights. Also, California Republican Dana Rohrabacher saying that if there was a blind vote for marijuana legalization, it would win. And for those of you in the Empire State of New York, a medical marijuana bill has been introduced in your legislature. Plus, some interesting opinion from TV Judge Christina Perez, courtesy of Blog Talk Radio's Dr. Blogstein, or Dr. Blogstein, I'm not sure. But you'll hear that in the hemp headlines. Also, of course, today is our Cannabis Science Day, so we'll be speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Today, we'll talk about those studies that show an increase in lung damage if you are a cannabis and tobacco smoker, but the hidden good news for those of us who smoke cannabis only. It's all that and more coming up on today's Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Representative Dana Rohrabacher, Republican of California, quote, "If it was a blind vote, you would have overwhelming support for legalizing marijuana," end quote. A growing chorus of lawmakers is openly calling for the legalization of marijuana as a measure to stop the escalating violence along the U.S.-Mexico border. The legislators who have endorsed legalization are Representatives Loretta Sanchez, Democrat of California, Jim McDermott, Democrat of Washington, Dana Rohrabacher, Republican of California, and Ron Paul, Republican of Texas. However, the chances of legalization occurring soon seem slim. Rohrabacher said, quote, "I think there has been an honest, very honest, sincere attempt to win the drug war, and that it is not a winnable war. I don't think there is anything more they can do to try to make the drug war work," end quote. McDermott said, quote, "Clearly people all over the country are using marijuana. We have filled our prisons at enormous costs, and we have no money for education," end quote. He added, quote, "We spend more and more and more money in the Drug Enforcement Administration and rounding up people and spraying fields and all this stuff, and from a social policy, I don't see any reason not to legalize it, control it, sell it, and tax it," end quote. No legislation seeking to legalize marijuana has been introduced in the 111th Congress. Rohrabacher said politicians are concerned about the potential political fallout if they spoke out in favor of legalization. Rohrabacher said, quote, "There are a lot of people who understand that the current war on drugs has been a failure, but they are afraid to politically say so. If it was a vote, a blind vote, where nobody knew who was voting, you would have overwhelming support for legalizing marijuana out there, but they will never vote for it because they are afraid of taking on a controversial issue," end quote. Ah, yes, which one of you will be brave enough to put the bell on the cat, huh? Until individual lawmakers start losing their jobs for their shameful votes on marijuana policy, prohibition is here to stay. Do you really think Barack Obama isn't smart enough to recognize the drug war is a failure and legalization of marijuana is a respectable policy solution?
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws, but I'm not somebody who believes in legalization of marijuana. What I do believe is that we need to rethink how we are operating in the drug wars, and I think that currently we are not doing a good job.
Of course he is smart enough, and so are many, if not the majority, of the men and women in Congress. But right policy for the country and vote that will lose my job from an attack ad are two different things.
Representative Stoner voted to make marijuana legal, even as Mexican drug lords are beheading innocent people over pot. He thinks your kids should grow up in a world of legal pot, even as more teens go to hospital emergency rooms for pot than any other drug. Representative Stoner's drug-friendly votes aren't what the good God-fearing people of Springfield want for representation in Congress.
Paid for by the committee to elect Harry J. Anslinger IV. Marijuana legalization will have to happen the way prohibition began, at the state and local level, until enough states force the federal government into recognition of the issue. Arizona v. Gant ruling at Supreme Court. Police must have a reason to search your vehicle, not just an arrest. Reporting by Scott Morgan at the Flex Your Rights blog. For many years, the Supreme Court has permitted police to search the passenger compartment of a vehicle any time an occupant of the car is arrested. These so-called searches incident to arrest were authorized in New York v. Belton from 1981, based in large part on concerns about officer safety, namely that the suspect might dive for a weapon hidden in the car. As a result, police have grown accustomed to searching vehicles for safety reasons even after the suspect has been taken into custody. This doesn't protect officers, but it certainly encourages police to make more arrests so they can do more searches. Well, that's finally going to change. The Supreme Court ruled in Arizona v. Gant this week that vehicle searches following an arrest are legal only if the suspect has access to the vehicle or if officers reasonably believe the vehicle contains evidence related to that arrest. In other words, police are now required to have an actual reason to justify the vehicle search instead of being allowed to do it automatically. This decision restores some much-needed logic and common sense to the way many warrantless vehicle searches are analyzed under the Fourth Amendment. This is a huge decision for curbing the fishing expeditions by law enforcement who pull over suspects, likely to be of darker complexion or in nice cars or youngsters sporting Grateful Dead stickers on their VW bus, on minor traffic violations as a pretext for searching the car for marijuana or drugs. Police will still be able to search with probable cause. Certainly the smell of marijuana or marijuana lying inside the car in plain view is still going to get your car looked at. There is still no protection from the unscientific use and misuse of canine units to manufacture a probable cause. But I can bet there are some normal legal committee defense lawyers who are very excited about this ruling. New York lawmakers introduce medical marijuana bill. Albany, New York. The movement to legalize medicinal marijuana is gaining momentum in New York, with a proposal to let some people grow their own or buy from a state-approved organization. Senator Thomas Duane of New York City is introducing the bill, which will have a matching version sponsored by Manhattan Assemblyman Richard Gottfried. The Democrat-led assembly has passed similar measures in recent years, but the issue fizzled in the formerly Republican-led Senate. Now Democrats have taken control of the Senate, and the issue could get some traction in that chamber. The bill calls for plants to be in a fenced-in area with a security device available only to the caregiver or patient. Assemblyman Sam Hoyt is a multi-sponsor of the bill. State Senator George Matziarts, who is against it, does not know if it has the votes to pass in the Senate. Governor Patterson's office released a statement which said, quote, "If the bill successfully passes both houses and reaches the governor's desk, the administration will seek input from interested parties before the governor acts," end quote. If medical marijuana passes in New York, it's all but over for the question of medicinal use of marijuana in the United States. We'd go from less than one quarter of the U.S. population covered by medical marijuana laws to over 30% in just 1 year. Give us New Jersey as well, and we're almost covering one-third of the U.S. population. Throw in Pennsylvania and Illinois, and we're topping 40%. Give us our wildest dream come true with successes in Alabama, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Missouri, New Hampshire, and Tennessee, and over half the United States will be covered by a medical use law. Judge Christina Perez from TV's Christina's Court. It's very possible we'll see legal marijuana in our lifetime. Judge Christina Perez, host of the TV court reality show Christina's Court, was a guest on the Radio Happy Hour with Dr. Blogstein at blogtalkradio.com. They were nice enough to send along this clip from the judge discussing marijuana legalization.
Christina, legalizing marijuana, are we going to see this in our lifetime?
With the research that we're seeing in cancer, I think it's very possible. I think it's very possible of you know something, it's legal in some states, and I think it's something that we could probably see. It's particularly for the benefit of medical research, or I mean, this is just my personal opinion.
What about non-medical?
That will be interesting to hear that. It depends how widespread using marijuana will be for medical relief, and I think it will probably take a complete, you know, it's like the old days, like with alcohol, prohibition.
Right.
Not that I'm comparing that to that. But you have to go through stages where you realize that, you know, and it's going to be very interesting because I think somebody someday will challenge words. You can use marijuana for medicinal purposes. How can you say then you can't use it for other reasons? And that will be the goal, to figure out who challenges that and if they ever do.
Judges have long known the war on marijuana is a failure. Add Christina Perez to the list that includes judges James Gray, Francis Young, Mary Ellen Bittner, and so many more.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins, no, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Visit normal.org today. Who is telling you the truth about marijuana? The government? Scientists? Doctors? Which claims are scientifically valid, and which claims are reefer madness? Every Wednesday, we separate the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Normal's look at cannabis science. Well, it's the middle of our 420 week, and some of us are still recovering, but we'll do our best. Joining us here to discuss cannabis science with us, as he does every Wednesday, is Dr. Mitch Earlywine, and welcome back to the show, Mitch.
Great to be on the show.
We published something on the Stash last week. It was a study that we thought we should get some commentary on from you. And this was regarding lung function, pulmonary function, among people who smoke. And we're talking about people who smoke tobacco and smoke cannabis, or people who smoke just tobacco, or people who smoke just cannabis. And what are the differences? This study, the headline came out and it, you know, said how bad it was for you to smoke both cannabis and tobacco and all the nasty effects this would have. So, could you just, kind of tell our listeners a little bit about that study and what more we know about it?
Absolutely. You know, this was a well-done study with a large sample, and a close look at the results suggests basically marijuana had no negative consequences. So, you know, we couldn't have that spin and reach a headline. So instead, they pointed out that in their sample, folks who used tobacco and cannabis did end up with some problems related to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. That's basically how much air can your lungs hold and how fast can you blow it out. It's a measure of obstruction, of okay. How much do things in your lungs get in the way of you breathing right. And the funny thing about this is, of course, Donald Tashkin was asked to comment. He has that huge sample in Los Angeles, and he actually has an even bigger data set suggesting that cannabis use alone doesn't cause chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but that if you do add tobacco, there are certainly problems. And the take-home message really is don't smoke tobacco, but of course somehow they had to rook cannabis into this. I want to emphasize too, because I got a couple emails on this confusing it with the lung cancer data, the cannabis and lung cancer link is basically not there. It's clearly a product of, you know, using nicotine instead. And so I just want to emphasize that to folks. And then the irony was, the day after I got this link, I also got a paper accepted about the vaporizer. four clinical cases in our lab show about a 2% improvement in lung function in just a month if they switch from smoking mostly bongs in this case to the vaporizer. Huh. And I was just really delighted to have that accepted. It's really the first one where people actually are experimentally manipulated in moving to the vaporizer instead of just studying folks who are already using it.
Yeah, I want to talk about that vaporizer stuff because that's something I think people really need to know about. But to put this study to bed, smoking tobacco, bad for COPD. Smoking tobacco plus marijuana, really bad for COPD. Smoking marijuana by itself, not bad for COPD.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's
okay,
really
so
it.
Don't believe the hype, people. Just stay away from the tobacco. There's warnings on it and everything. Now, this vaporizer paper that you're coming out with, this is something that I think is really important, and getting the cannabis community to switch over to this vaporization technology is important, not just from a health perspective, but also from a political or rhetorical perspective. One of the ways our opponents always come back against medical marijuana is like, well, yeah, but nobody would ever recommend smoking anything as medicine. So tell folks about vaporization and what your paper is seeking, or what you're trying to conclude here.
The beauty of the vaporizer is it heats the cannabis to a point where the cannabinoids boil off in this really fine mist, but the plant really doesn't catch fire. So you don't get all those dangerous, potentially problematic irritants for your lungs. You just get the cannabinoids. Dale Geringer from California Normal did some great work on this early on, showing that mist literally contains practically nothing but cannabinoids, and it's really a superb way to administer medical cannabis or cannabis in adult use. What I found, and it's only four subjects, so I don't want to go crazy, but since you can, you know, publish cannabis hyperemesis with just one subject, I better get this out there, is that folks not only decrease their respiratory symptoms, so their reports of how much they cough or wheeze or have tightness in the chest and things like that, but actual spirometry measures, that thing that the doctor's office where you have to blow in it as hard as you can, these seem to be improving as well in just a month. And in fact, this is, you know, on par with folks who, you know, are basically quitting cigarettes. And I was surprised, but the biggest surprise, in fact, was finding four people who only smoked cannabis who also actually had two respiratory symptoms. So I think the take-home message for me was more in the recruiting, was everybody calling up on the phone wanting to be in the vaporizer study, but hardly anybody having so much as a cough, kind of tells you that really cannabis isn't that much of a respiratory irritant, at least in you know, folks who've been smoking less than 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, you know, I've heard this anecdotally from people here in the Portland area. Our podcast sponsor, he tells me that when he switched from smoking to vaporizing, he no longer had that morning wheeze that he'd always had. But I'm wondering, has there been other studies on this vaporization technology and what does the government say about this vaporization?
Well, it's curious because Don Abrams did some wonderful work just bringing folks in the lab and showing that the vaporizer actually worked. And then last year I published a paper just showing people who vaporize do report fewer respiratory symptoms. But of course the critics said, well, maybe those are just people who are, you know, healthy in general or something like that. So this was the first time I actually said, hey, you vaporizer, non-user, come on in, tell me how much you cough, let me measure your lung function, and now take this vaporizer home for a month and come back and let's do it all again. And that was, you know, what I think is so novel about this paper. In fact, we got the study up and running, and as you can imagine, the phone is ringing off the hook because people get a free vaporizer.
Yeah.
and so, in fact, when I have a bigger sample, I'm hoping I'll get more attention for this. I can't imagine NIDA funding a randomized clinical trial on the use of the vaporizer anytime soon, but I'm gonna, you know, be very happy to get these data out, and I think it'll be a superb step for everyone. The complaints about them were really minimal. Everybody was really into the vaporizer. At least two people said it seems like the subjective effects are a little bit delayed with the vaporizer relative to, say, smoking a joint. But otherwise, everything was very comparable. They did whine about the fact that they aren't particularly portable. And so I think, you know, any vaporizer company out there is looking for some innovation. A portable vaporizer seems to be something folks are longing for.
You know, you mentioned that the free vaporizer. I've always wondered when we talk about the studies that you're doing there, how people get involved with the studies, and how many of our listeners are sitting out there thinking, "Gosh, how do I get in touch with Dr. Earlywine and get that get into that study?"
Well, you can imagine the Institutional Review Board Ethics Committee here. I go to a lot of meetings with them.
I'll bet. So maybe this also can lead us to answering a seems to be a lifelong question amongst people that use cannabis. There's people that are aficionados of joints. There's people that prefer bongs, people that prefer pipes. And I've tend to found this is broken down somewhat, at least in the continental U.S., kind of geographically. People here on the West Coast are very into glassware, very into pipes. People I meet from the East Coast seem to be much more into rolling joints. And people in the Midwest or South are into using bongs. So obviously the vaporizer is the best technology as far as the person's health. Is there a ranking system amongst these three methods about which would be the most to the least healthiest?
Well, so the curious thing, and this was a bit of a surprise to folks, is not just how much, you know, THC and cannabinoids are you getting out of whatever you're smoking, but also what's the ratio of that to irritants, to things that really you don't want in your lungs, like benzene and some of the burnt matter. And it turns out the joint is actually top of the list after the vaporizer because that ratio is so good. The issue with the joint that isn't measured in those kinds of studies, of course, is the heat. And unfortunately, heat is really hard on the lungs. So that, you know, smoking it down to the roach and getting every last little hit out of there is probably not worth it as far as the amount of heat you're actually exposing your lungs to. You know, just unroll that and save it for the next joint, and I think things will be fine under those circumstances. The drawback for the water pipe, and I realize this is going to get me a lot of nasty hate mail, but the smoke is so cool that people tend to hold it down longer than they actually need to. THC is absorbed through the lungs really rapidly, so it's not like you need to do this giant lung buster thing where you hold it for a minute. If you really want to hold it for a long time, blow the smoke out first, and you'll be surprised at how it's just the holding your breath that seems to make you feel like you're getting more high. And the fact that some of the THC is actually trapped in the water, so the ratio of THC to lung irritants isn't as good with the water pipe as it is for the joint. Again, you know, if you love your bong and you're not coughing and wheezing, by all means, stick with it. But I think a move to the vaporizer is really worth it for folks who anticipate being long-term users.
Hmm. And then the glass pipe, the worst? Why would that be?
Unfortunately, it's really the heat. So if, you know, you see these horrible drug war death toy, you know, little bitty one-hitters that everybody's trying to hide when they're going places. Mm-hmm. And it's an unfortunate drawback of prohibition, if you will, that you end up basically sucking down a hot match every time you use one of these, or even worse, you know, inhaling butane, and that's just really not good for you in the long term.
So would a longer pipe make much of a difference?
In fact, anything that's going to cool the smoke would have an advantage as far as that's concerned.
Hmm. And so if we didn't have the pressure of prohibition and the drug war forcing people to have to hide their paraphernalia, perhaps people would use longer pipes and it wouldn't be as bad.
Exactly, exactly.
Hmm. Oh, interesting subject, and we've got some more interesting subjects we're going to follow up on future editions of Cannabis Science. We've gotten a lot of questions about the post we had on pregnant mothers and smoking, as well as some reports of that cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome that you mentioned just a second ago. So we'll cover that in future episodes. And Dr. Earlywine, thanks again for joining us, and we'll keep up on all the latest science with you.
Oh, pleasure being on the show.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. All right, Stashers, for our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, I've got to catch us up with the tune that should have been played yesterday for Variety Tuesday, I Think God Smokes Weed by Echo Movement. They're nominees in both the 2009 Global and American Marijuana Music Awards, and if you like them, you can vote for them at our blog at stash.normal.org. Their music is a smooth mix of roots, reggae, and pop. The eight-piece band, who are from diverse backgrounds, cultures, and beliefs, are globally minded. Echo Movement takes their name from the Echo Generation, the children of the baby boomers. As part of the Echo Generation, the band recognizes we can choose our own level of involvement in humanity. They encourage listeners to use today's song, I Think God Smokes Weed, to open discussion and minds, and if nothing else, roll up, kick back, and enjoy this smoking tune. For more information about Echo Movement, check out echomovement.com and myspace.com/echomovement. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Echo Movement with I Think God Smokes Weed.
I think God smokes weed, and he was high when he made me. I can feel it in my DNA. I think God smokes weed, and he was high when he made me. And I think he gave up halfway. Before I was complete, as I understand, God was making a mess of the man he planned. In the face of defeat, he spoke the helping hand and said, I'll just put him in a reggae band. I feel it in the beat when I'm on the stand. I feel it in my feet when I'm on the sand. I see it in the sunsets that might expand into your mind so you understand. I think God smokes weed, and he was high.
Consistently, except for the one time you dropped that seed. I hear the gods in you and me and all we see, assuming all the actions of my own body. If that's the way it is, then you must agree. Every time we rock the gun, so does he.
I think God smokes weed, and he was high.
Here's a classic ganja anthem, nominated in 2009's Global Marijuana Music Awards. It's My Jamaican Weed by Andrew Branch and the Halfway Tree for today's Reggae Wednesday. The band deliver an authentic bass-heavy roots reggae sound, and they're composed of great artists, including the legendary Brian Atkinson, who recorded many bass lines that became the defining sounds of the roots reggae genre and many rhythms used by Bob Marley and the Wailers in their hit songs. Today's song, My Jamaican Weed, is a global smash hit. The group have performed at numerous festivals, gaining international acclaim and fans from around the world. Andrew Branch and the Halfway Tree music is gloriously hypnotic, and their message is positive and uplifting. For more about the band, check out myspace.com/halfwaytree, and registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this song. It's Andrew Branch and the Halfway Tree with My Jamaican Weed.
Check out the real deal.
Follow me, no man.
Listen to the real deal.
If you don't know, then we're telling you now.
Check out the real deal.
Easy.
Listen to the real deal.
How you mean?
My Jamaican Weed.
Take out the wheel. 76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
This is the California Marijuana Report for Monday, April 20th, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. Brought to you by NORMAL, the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws. Every Monday, we take a look at cannabis law reform and legislative activity inside the state of California. We will also feature California marijuana music. This week on the California Marijuana Report, a San Francisco supervisor wants his city to sell pot. We learn what U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder's office has in mind for two Northern California men found guilty of marijuana distribution. And a Tulare County man found not guilty of marijuana-related charges gets all of his grass back. And our California marijuana music segment, we hear from San Francisco-based psychedelic guitar player Harvey Mandel. A San Francisco supervisor is hoping the city will be the first in the nation to sell marijuana. Ross Mercurimi, who represents the city's Haight-Ashbury district, spearheaded the legislation more than 3 years ago. San Francisco Chronicle says Mercurimi has asked the city attorney to craft a measure that would create a pilot program for medical pot sales. Details are still being worked out. Mercurimi said he envisions a pilot program under which the Department of Public Health could distribute pot to medical marijuana patients of city clinics. Mercurimi called his legislation the, quote, next step toward codifying state laws that legalize medical marijuana. Two California brothers are about to find out how U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder's office will prosecute marijuana cases carried over from the Bush administration. Winslow and Abraham Norton had a county permit to operate the Compassionate Cooperative of Alameda County, located in Hayward, California. The San Francisco Chronicle says the brothers had been paying taxes on their lucrative sales. The DEA raided the dispensary in October of 2007, and a federal indictment followed with charges of drug distribution, money laundering, and carrying guns during drug trafficking. The brothers could face 15 years in federal prison with no parole. San Francisco U.S. Attorney General Joe Russinello, speaking to an audience of law students recently, said all of California's 300 medical marijuana dispensaries risk prosecution. This because most of them sell pot for profit, and under state guidelines announced last August by State Attorney General Jerry Brown, only nonprofit collectives or cooperatives comply with state law. And great news for a Tulare County man who was recently found not guilty of marijuana charges. He's getting all of his grass back. 61-year-old Richard Dillman was found not guilty of growing and selling marijuana in a trial that ended in March. At the time, Tulare County Superior Court Judge Daryl Ferguson ruled that authorities should return just 6 of the 12 pounds that were confiscated when he was arrested by deputies in December. But Dillman argued that his doctor's recommendation said he could possess 6, quote, processed pounds, excluding the parts of the plant he doesn't use. In a decision Wednesday, Ferguson ordered all 12 pounds of the marijuana be returned to Dillman, saying all of it was, quote, reasonably related to his medical needs. Now for some California marijuana music. This week we spotlight a very talented blues rock and fusion guitar player, Harvey Mandel. This is the title cut from Harvey's 1971 album, Baby Batter, released on Janus Records.
Baby Batter. Thank you.
This has been the California Marijuana Report for the week of April 20th, 2009. Thanks to Buzzy Linhart for technical assistance, as well as letting me play some of his music. Special thanks to Quicksilver Messenger Service, Harvey Mandel, and Gene Clark. And of course, NORML, the national organization to reform marijuana laws. I'm Eric Brenner with the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the NORML Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.norml.org. For everyone here at NORML, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder that you've got 10 days left to prepare for the Global Marijuana March. Check out globalmarijuanamarch.org for the city near you. We've got some signs online at stash.normal.org that you can print out and take to the march. It's important that we get out on the streets. All of this cyberspace emailing, texting, and web page work and podcasts are all great, but we do need to turn that into direct action where the rest of the people can see us and can realize there's a whole lot more of us than they ever imagined. It's time to make a stand for the end of adult marijuana prohibition, and I know I can count on you to do it. Thanks for downloading the podcast and helping to make the Stash the growing truth about cannabis in cyberspace. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, it's time to re-legalize marijuana and return America to her hemp roots. We'll be back next time with more news and interviews. And until that time, take care of each other, tokers.